This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
He's all excited. Why? Because he gets the opening day start. And they're going to greet him more warmly at the bank.
Oh, Mr. Bybee, why don't we come on over here? We have VIP checking for you.
Would you like a coffee?
That $48,000, would you like to deposit that in tens, twenties, or just thousands?
And is there another check for $48,000 coming tomorrow?
I'm sorry, that was just one, $48 million. Sorry, I shorted you. My bad.
$48,000 a day.
Yeah.
Welcome to Baskin and Phelps here, folks. Guardians, Kansas City Royals, today, getting it rolling, Andy.
I'm excited. You know why I'm excited? Because it gives us something just maybe a little bit different to talk about. That gives us all...
Oh, not different, baby. We got it going.
Three major sports are rolling right now, right?
We got it going.
I mean, we got, you know, all of this, you know, hype and excitement for the Guardians today, for all of Major League Baseball. You know, let's face it, only two teams have started the season so far. So we hop into that today. Obviously, the Cavaliers are rolling. We're rolling. What, magic number is six. Still starting to rest some guys. I wish they would lock up the top of the Eastern Conference before they start resting it, but that's all right. They know what they're doing. So you got Cavs, and then obviously Browns draft. Does it get any better than this right now?
This is
sports Shangri-La.
You think so?
Not really, but that's okay. If we were all winning, it would be, but there's too many question marks on all these teams.
Is there really?
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. Oh, I think that's outstanding. One thing we're going to do today.
Yes.
You know, what's a big deal on opening day? Right, who's in the opening day lineup?
Oh, of course, it's always right? The lineup.
That's a big deal. Who's going to be there? Who's the guy? Blah, 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 all that, right?
Correct.
Well, you know what we decided to do today?
I have no idea.
We're going to take a look.
I missed the meeting.
At various opening day lineups. And then we're not going to go extensive on this, but we're going to go over it. Various opening day lineups in key years of franchise history.
Ooh.
You might like it, Andy.
70s? We're going to 70s, 60s?
Oh, there will be some 70s in there.
All right, I'm in 80s.
There will be some 80s in there.
But we really want the 90s. Isn't that what we want?
How about some not ones? The first game ever played by the Cleveland baseball franchise. It was April 24th, 1901.
Oh, Jeff, do you remember? You had your stone tablets for that. I remember
they played at Southside Park in Chicago, Illinois. Cleveland. They didn't have a nickname.
I feel like this all needs to be said in like old-timey radio voice.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
There you go.
Starting for your Cleveland baseball organization today.
Cleveland lost to the Chicago White Sox 8-2.
What a bully day we're having.
The opening day lineup for the first game ever. First game ever for Cleveland baseball.
Ready? And for post-game on Two Tin Cans and a Wire, we'll go to Jeff Phelps.
In right field, it was Ollie Pickering. In left field, Jack McCarthy. Center field was Frank Jennings.
Jeff, if you're not, I mean, seriously, this is very important.
G-E-N-I-N-S. Jennings. Hitting cleanup, your first baseman, George LaChance.
Hopefully everyone's around the radio with their scorebooks.
Bill Bradley played third base and hit fifth. Irv Beck was our second baseman. He hit seventh.
Make sure you come to the game with a suit, Don. Sixth. We don't want to see any rabble-rousers wearing T-shirts.
Bill, there will be no ankles to be seen.
None. Bill Hallman was your first ever shortstop. He was hitting seventh. Bob Wood behind the plate as the catcher. He hit eighth. And on the mound, the old flamethrower, Bill Hoffer, who went eight innings, gave up eight hits, six runs, six walks.
I've heard Hoffer helped his neighbor with his farm, too, and it's increased his velocity.
And that, folks, was your first ever opening day Cleveland baseball lineup.
And I bet the crowd was very diversified. Not.
Bully!
I bet there were a lot of people complaining about the guys wearing hats in front of them because they couldn't see.
That's true. Wow, I've got my good new wool
suit. Take off that fedora.
I've got my wool suit on. What were they thinking? Like, how uncomfortable could it have been to be at a baseball game wearing a suit?
I don't know, but boy, people used to do that like crazy, didn't they?
Well, it was the cigarette companies that kept them going, though. So
we're looking for optimism. Because why, it's opening day.
There is nothing better than watching and taking a look at some of those old sports pictures that are either baseball, especially basketball or hockey, where there is this giant
cloud
plume of smoke over the arena.
That was the Cleveland arena and every other arena. How in the world did those guys get up and down the court? Nonetheless, they're going to play tonight, and there won't be smoking in that arena. Outside now.
That puff of the rosin ball brought to you by Unfiltered Cigarettes.
Are you allowed to be realistic about this team today, or do you just are you only allowed to be optimistic because it is opening day?
Spinner, it's the old tar ball.
I think you got to be realistic. I think you got to be realistic. But I also think there's reason for optimism here. That's just phlegm. It's not tar.
Oh, no, it's phlegm and tar.
If you could cough up the tar, you wouldn't end up with lung cancer. You'd get it all out.
Have you seen how these pitchers used to load the ball up?
Starter? What do you mean? Nine? Of course you're going to throw nine innings today. You're going to be out there till your doubleheader. You'll pitch both of them.
You got 210 pitches. Go.
You'll be fine. You got all winter to heal them up.
This is where I miss Bob Feller.
Way to go, champ.
Bob, how many innings could you throw in a row? I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 in a row? What's the difference? Oh, man.
You guys back now?
No, I'm envisioning.
I could keep going.
Some guy with a wool suit and a glove that was like 10 times bigger than his hand that he left on the mound for the other guy to use to come back up and then do the old windup.
That was even before then, Andy.
What? Oh, they didn't even have gloves then for the first game?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Like cricket? In cricket where they don't wear a glove? That's a six! Boom! I've been watching a lot of cricket.
Are we allowed to talk the opening day now?
This is opening day. We're talking about the origins of the game.
You're talking about guys hacking up tar.
Well, you did give us the lineup that might have done that. Are any of those guys in the Hall of Fame?
I thought Bill Bradley was, yeah. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You don't know the truth.
Do any of those guys have a brick in center field? That's all I care about.
I'm sure somebody's relative does.
Oh, boy. Yep, here we go. Opening day. Pumped.
Can we actually take a look at this team?
Sure.
Okay. The hell are they thinking on the right side of the infield? Okay, let's just get that out of the way right now, okay?
Do you think it's weird that a team that went to the LCS last year has – six different starters in the opening day line, and a pitcher I can get. That's easy. So, but you're talking about six different guys that started the opening day between this year and last year. That was the big trivia question today. It was awesome.
Nice.
So these guys all started last year
on
opening day, but aren't here now. Ramon Laureano, remember him?
Yeah.
Josh Naylor, David Fry, Tyler Freeman, Jimenez, and Bieber all started on opening day last year.
That's tough. Can I give you another name for Ramon Laureano?
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel Arias.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy. And I say it for this reason. Okay, you got about a month. How's it going? It's not going very well. Good luck to you. I think that's the same type of deal. I think they want to take a look at Arias. He's out of options. We know that whole thing. All right, we're going to give you one last chance here. We have a lot of games to play. You're not going to stink defensively. If you can hit, it might be your job for this year. If not, good luck to you. We're going to DFA you, and you can end up in Columbus, or you can go sign with fill in the blank.
All right, is it a 30-day or a 20-day or a 10-day contract then, really is what we're talking about, right?
I'd say it's 30 anyway.
I think it's 32. Dan, I think
he's got the month.
What do you think, month?
He's got April. But if Juan Brito goes to Columbus and he's hitting like 425 and Arias doesn't hit, that move could happen more quickly.
The other thing I give, like, there are things that I give the Guardians credit for, and sometimes they go with what they believe, or they'll continue trying something that they think can work for the beginning of the season, but they're not scared to bail on it after the first month, are they? They're hesitant to, but they'll bail. I mean, how many times have we seen that happen where guys end up going back to Columbus, and all of a sudden, within a month, they're back up, and we understand where they're at.
When they're young guys, you understand that because you're trying to coach them up and get them better, and they're at the bottom of the roster and blah, 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 blah. I will tell you, I'm still waiting for resolution as to why they traded Josh Naylor. Why they traded Naylor with a year to go. I know he can be a free agent at the end of the year.
I think that's why, Jeff.
Yeah, except for one thing, Andy.
Okay, give me the one thing. Jeff Phelps, one thing.
They traded Josh Naylor with a year to go on his contract.
Okay, they wanted to get something for him.
They brought in Carlos Santana and signed him to a one-year contract and paid him more money than they were going to pay Naylor this year. And I understand that Jimenez is one of the best defensive second basemen we've ever seen. And he really solidified the right side of the infield defense. I don't expect Carlos Santana, despite the fact that he won a gold glove, to be anywhere close to Andrés Giménez. Arias will be just fine defensively. Santana will be better than Naylor, but the extra good glove at first base doesn't make up for what Josh Naylor brought you offensively.
All right, so,
and I know Santana can hit, but he doesn't hit like Naylor anymore. Yeah, he never did.
How much of it is an insurance policy, though? Thinking that maybe Manzardo or Noel can win that job at first base.
I don't think it's going to be Noel. I think it's Manzardo.
Yeah, I think so too. But I was throwing it out there.
But he can play. As we've mentioned, he can play first. So can Nolan Jones.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, you do have guys. Daniel Sneeman can play anywhere.
Tell me you don't like the fact of having a 6'5" first baseman.
I like that idea.
I do too.
And or a 6'6" in Nolan Jones.
Yeah.
So I think that's swell. I just for the life of me. If you were going to trade Josh Naylor, Andy, I don't mean to. This isn't meant to be harmful. Okay,
go ahead, don't be harmful. Hang on, let me.
Than a compensatory pick or whatever the heck it is, and Slade Ciccone.
Oh, don't talk about Slade that way. Slade's going to be here before you know it.
Doing what?
He'll be
rehabbing.
No, he'll be helping out this team.
I mean, you traded a guy who hit 30 bombs and drove in 100.
Okay.
And then you paid an old guy more money than you were going to have to pay him. It's not like you traded him and got a great return, we would think. You got a draft pick and you got a pitcher who is injured who you thought might have a chance to make the starting rotation. You traded 30 bombs and 100 RBIs for what you thought was probably a bullpen arm for now.
Jeff, this team, though, it's always I can close my eyes and look at all the press releases, and we said, oh, they traded the guy that was loved by the fans and – or at least liked by the fans and, you know, was somewhat productive, maybe a little bit better than productive. And then you saw like five names of guys that you'd never heard of that were in the minor somewhere else across the country, and there was a TBA in there. And all of a sudden, I don't know, you get a Grady Sizemore out of the back end of that one of those. I mean, I know that's an old reference at this point, but it always seems to be that they always seem to be pretty smart about that.
Prospects when you traded Bartolo.
You can go back to other stuff.
And you traded 30 homers and 100 RBIs off a team that surprised last year and you were hoping could do it again. And you haven't – I like Carlos. Carlos doesn't hit like Josh unless Chris Antonetti was like speaking through his teeth when he said, no, we're not concerned about an injury. Explain the first base move to me, folks. I'm looking for an answer. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan with news.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Titans will attend a private workout with for potential number one pick Cam Ward tomorrow, sources say, after Ward worked out for the Browns yesterday. His only two. Meanwhile, Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders has workouts for the Titans and Browns in the days following his pro day.
A little quarterback talk coming up later on as well. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. It's opening day, baby. Opening day. And I'm still trying to figure out what's going on at first base. Why'd you make that move? Why? I understand second base. I understand why you made that move. I still don't get first base. If Josh Naylor, if his legs collapse in the first month of the season, heaven forbid, I would understand, maybe. Jeff Phelps, Andy Baskin, to celebrate opening day, we're going back and just quickly looking at opening day lineups through key years of franchise history. The boys enjoyed it immensely when we did the first game ever played by a Cleveland Major League Baseball team. It was in 1901. That was the last segment. You want another one?
Sure. Here
opening day, April 14th, 1920 at League Park. Why 1920?
Oh, I know why.
Why?
They won it all that year.
They won it all that year, and it was the first time a Cleveland Major League Baseball team actually even made the postseason.
Really?
Yep. Yep. How about that?
Well, do they always have postseason? I'm just curious. I mean, I know that might sound crazy, but in the beginning, and I know you may not know the answer, but in the beginning, did they just, was the regular season champ just the champ? Or? I don't know. I mean, in the beginning. I mean, who knows how many teams.
I think that's the case. How's that?
All right, fair enough.
All right. Your opening day left fielder in 1920, the team that ended up winning it all. I just had it here, and I clicked, and it went away.
Ray Chapman. No, he was an infielder.
No, you're going to be
Jack Greaney.
It was Jack Greaney.
Oh, yeah!
You looked it up, apparently.
Well, no, I just looked it up.
See, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, I saw the names.
You're supposed to react. You're not supposed to do this.
But that was pretty good. He's probably one of the few names I think anybody might still
know. Jack Greaney later became a legendary broadcaster.
That's the only reason why.
For the Indians, yeah.
Well, there's another reason why I would know somebody else.
Jack Greaney led off and played left field. This is sad. Hitting second, the only Major League Baseball player who was killed in a Major League Baseball game. And it happened later that season. Ray Chapman played shortstop, hit second. Tris Speaker, Hall of Famer, was hitting third.
So can I give you two things really quick on both those guys?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think there's anything cooler than going to Lakeview Cemetery. I mean, there are things that are cooler in life, but it is really interesting to go to Lakeview Cemetery where Ray is buried.
Yeah.
And when the team is playing really well, to see what people drop by the headstone. It's actually really neat. The other thing, too, is Rockefeller, that people always throw like pennies and quarters and they always throw money at that, too. Tris Speaker was a huge part of a Little League on the east side for Cleveland Heights University. We all played Tris Speaker Little League. So, I mean, he had an impact on a lot of east side kids. Not kids now. People are in their 50s and 60s and 70s right now that all played Tris Speaker Little League. Okay.
So it's Jack Greaney, Ray Chapman, Tris Speaker. Heard of all those guys. Mm-hmm. Elmer Smith hit cleanup and was in right field. Went 2-for-5 that day. Larry Gardner played third base. Bill Wamsgans played second base. It's that funky name that everybody can't pronounce, and Wamsgans is the way it's supposed to be, I guess. Doc Johnston played first base. You know this name, Steve O'Neill.
Yes.
Was the catcher. He hit eighth. And batting ninth, Hall of Fame pitcher who went 2-for-3 at the plate back when pitchers could hit, Stan Kovaleski. Stan pitched a nice game that day. He went 9 innings. Shutout, 5 hits, 7 Ks, and your Indians beat the St. Louis Browns 5-0 in the opening day of 1920, the first Indians team that went on to win the World Series.
Very nice. That was good stuff, Jeff. Considering all these guys probably would have been, if they were still alive today, they'd be in their 130s, 140s.
Andy, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
I agree with you on that. Now, and Steve O'Neill obviously later had a piece of the team, right? Owned the team? Is that the same O'Neill?
I do not believe so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because that O'Neill family is still rocking and rolling in Northeast Ohio, and I may have been in their suite for the Rolling Stones. And, man, did we have a good time. Thank you, O'Neill family. That was part of the old ownership group, O'Neill's.
Andy sucks up the people and gets great tickets and stuff. I'm so impressed by you.
And I was just about to come out and go, can we get one that's a little less heartfelt so we can actually make fun of it? And then you turn it into a commercial.
What do you mean I turned it into a commercial? What was the commercial? Man, I had a good time. Whew. That was fun. Tip of the cap, O'Neill family. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Andy Baskin for having cool friends.
No, and there was a little Speaker of the House reference there.
Your friends are a little boring.
That
my
was
friends,
Tip O'Neill.
Yeah, cool. I know. That's why I said tip of the cap to the O'Neill family.
Okay.
All right. Which one? What? How many 140-year-olds are we talking about next? I love it. I love every minute of this.
Little perspective on our franchise.
Tris Speaker.
It's opening day. Opening day lineups are a big deal. Thought you'd enjoy that. Tris Speaker.
I have a good Bob Feller opening day story. You want to hear it?
He threw no hitter.
No. No.
Yes, I want to hear it.
All right, I'll give you the 3-minute version. First job, Missoula, Montana. I don't know if I've ever told you. Have I ever told you this story?
No.
Okay. So I had been there for maybe 3 or 4 months, and you know, Bob was on the circuit. He was throwing out first pitches for little leagues across the country. And he happened to be where?
Missoula, Montana.
In Missoula, Montana, right? So I call my dad, and like I'm like, Dad, you're not going to believe this. Bob Feller's going to be out here for opening day.
Okay. I know where this is going.
And
it's a good story.
What? And he's like, I'm like, Dad, Bob Feller. I'm going to interview Bob Feller. And I was only like 21. And he was like, really? And I was like, oh, my dad was so excited. For the next 25 minutes, my dad explained to me how Bob Feller was the biggest calisthenics, you know, like guru of his day, and that he would be at the ballpark 4 or 5 hours before anyone ever had to be there to make sure he was stretched out, he was ready to go, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's this great, you know, leader in calisthenics. So here I am, 21 years old. I got a camera. I'm wheeling all this stuff. I'm going over to the park, which is kind of behind the TV station. And there he is, the legend, Bob Feller, is in Missoula, Montana, right? So I sit down and I get on this park bench and he's sitting on the other side. I was like, Mr. Feller, it is an absolute honor to meet you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And then at this moment, I knew where this was going. Nice to meet you, son. And so then I was like, you know, I'm from Cleveland. You're such a legend. And now he didn't want to hear any of it. So now I sit down, I'm like, you know, Mr. Feller, what do you think of Missoula? And he gives me this this line. And here I am, man. I am this hard-hitting 21-year-old journalist. And I'm like, Mr. Feller, how important was calisthenics to you when you were playing the game? And how important was it to make sure that your career could last a long time? And Bob Feller looks at me and goes, not a big deal at all.
Thanks, Dad.
And I'm like, well, compared to today's player, he goes, today's players have everything. It's all there, right there for him. And then I was like, all right, well, thanks, Mr. Feller. And he was like, that was the end of it. I get on the phone with my dad. I go, that's the last time I ever listened to you on prepping for a story for anything. So there you have it. That's my Bob Feller story.
You want mine?
But yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
It's got to be better than mine because I didn't sell mine good enough just now.
You're going to like this.
I needed a better punchline.
It's the same type of deal.
Hmm?
Bob, in the summer, used to go around to minor league teams. And Bob earned an income going to minor league teams and everything else. The Beaumont Golden Gators, who I've mentioned before, brought Bob into town twice. So I'm interviewing Bob, doing a live shot before the game. And the general manager of the Gators was my buddy Lou Valentic, who was from Ashtabula. So Bob hooked me up. And this is true. When I was in elementary school, there was a book in our library about Bob Feller. My name was the only name on the sign-out card. I signed it and just kept signing. I signed it out, you know, 30 times. I read the book 30 times. And
you couldn't get it the first two or three?
When I met Mr. Feller,
yeah,
I introduced myself. Lou introduced me to him. I started talking. I said, Mr. Feller, I must tell you. I told him the elementary school book story. And Bob said, was it Rapid Robert or was it Bob Feller's strikeout king? And I thought, oh, boy.
And then
I said, gosh, Mr. Feller, I must be honest. I don't remember the title of the book because I just know it was me signing it out endlessly.
Hey, son, let me tell you one more thing.
I later discovered it was Bob Feller. It was Strikeout King.
Did you read that section on calisthenics?
It was Bob Feller, Strikeout King. No. And then he came in another time
Yeah.
And he did a pitching exhibition to the media.
Oh, this must have been fun.
Okay. So I grab a bat, right? They sign us up. Here I step in against Bob Feller.
No way.
Yeah. Lou Valentich, the guy from Ashtabula,
yeah.
General manager, now lives in Indiana. Lou, yeah. You're a great guy. I know he has family here in town.
Yeah.
Lou's on the PA.
Okay.
Now stepping into the batter's box, the kid from Cleveland, sports director at Channel 4, grew up idolizing Bob Feller, Jeff Phelps.
Please tell me.
I step into the batter's box.
He threw it at your head. Please
Mike McClain from the Gators is out there handing Bob baseballs.
Okay.
Now, when it came to being a great high school baseball player, I wasn't.
Okay.
But I could hit.
Okay.
Bob throws me a pitch. I smoke a line drive.
Oh, no.
Right back up the box.
Oh, no.
Bob and Mike McClain are on the ground. They both bailed.
Oh, my God.
And they're on the ground. Lou. Oh, my God. The kid from Cleveland almost killed Bob Feller.
Did he throw at your head next time you were up, or was that the only time you got to
No,
hit?
I got like five pitches, but I
their stories of Bob, like,
Bob
throwing
and,
at guys.
Bob and Mike were on the ground.
Oh,
on man. The ground. And then I got a certificate, and it said, Jeff Phelps, blah, 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 you know, hit off of Bob Feller and you know, got a double or whatever.
Right.
And it says, it said, in fine print, we understand that in Bob Feller's day, the results would have been very different. And then Mr. Feller, and I thought, well, of course it would have been. But, you know, because Bob was like 70.
Yeah, well, there
75,
was,
and he's pitching BP. But there was a disclaimer. Yeah, you singled off Bob Feller now, but you weren't going to single off Bob Feller then.
Well, there was talk about Bob at fantasy camp.
Knocking guys down.
Yeah, brushing guys back after they had big hits before. And this was later. I mean, this was like 60s, 70s.
It's opening day, folks. What do you think? It's opening day. Help me figure out first base. Help me figure out first base and more opening day lineups coming up. We're celebrating the game all day long right here on Baskin and Phelps.